I cannot read this passage of scripture from Luke without hearing angels we have heard on high. Gloria, right? The air was filled with the news. Glory to God in the highest. Moments before, everything had been dark, quiet, an uneventful night. The shepherds' eyes were accustomed to the starlit night sky. They were watching the perimeters of the flock for sheep that might begin to wander. When the most extraordinary thing happened, an angel appeared, and these common shepherds, regular old shepherds, were enveloped in the glory of the Lord. A baby has been born. What a joyful announcement. We've had a baby. When we had Nicholas, we went to the hospital early. It was a Wednesday morning. People were expecting news by Wednesday night dinner, but he still hadn't come. Choir practice was over, and they called, and he still hadn't come. And then finally at 9:41 that night, he came by C-section. Mom and Dad stayed all day long waiting. They'd been with us in the room all day until Chris and I got sent into the operating room, and they sent them to the waiting room. And after Nicholas was born, they put us on the service elevator and took us up to a room and left them in the waiting room. And so Chris went downstairs and told them the news. His name is Nicholas Riley. He weighs 8 pounds, 9 ounces. Everybody is doing well. The news spread like ripples. Grandparents first, and then our siblings, our friends, and our church family. Formal announcements came later. The same ripples spread when Elizabeth entered our world. Grandparents first, siblings, friends, and church family, formal announcements. It seems odd that the first people to whom God announced his child's birth were shepherds. I didn't consider finding shepherds. Maybe it's not odd. Maybe it's significant. Maybe we're supposed to notice that that's not who we would go and tell first. New Testament scholar Dr. Robert Tannehill suggests that the figure of the shepherd has the same ambiguous quality as a royal baby in a manger. There in the city of David, where David had been sent out to watch his father's flocks as a shepherd, and from which he had been called and anointed to be king, shepherds were the ones who were told of the birth of the long-awaited anointed one who would grow up like a shoot out of the stump of King David's lineage. Royal, common, shepherds. And they were given two signs, neither one supernatural or spectacular. The first was really nothing out of the ordinary. We think it sounds strange. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. He was wrapped in bands of cloths. What is this? What did he get wrapped up in? Well, this is what everybody did. When a baby was born, they took strips of cloth that were sort of like bandages, and they wrapped the baby's limbs to keep them straight. It was a common thing. It's what everybody did. You'll find the baby wrapped like everybody wraps a baby. The second sign, though, was unique, unusual, but not at all really sensational. The baby's going to be in a manger. You're going to find him in a feeding trough, hewn out of stone, worn smooth by animals rubbing against it as they eat. If you go into the city, You'll find a baby wrapped like mothers wrap their babies, and then look with the animals because they've laid him in the feed trough. That's how you'll know you've found your Savior. Seems odd to have those two signs. And then the sky was dark again. And as their eyes adjusted to the twinkling lights of the night sky, the shepherds looked at each other and decided, okay, let's go to Bethlehem, to the city of David, and see. We'll see for ourselves. They had seen the bright glory. They had heard the singing. But they wanted to go and see for themselves. And I wonder if they needed to see it for themselves. I wonder if they heard those signs and questioned, could it really be? I wonder if there were doubters among them who said, that was weird, but I don't think we need to go to Bethlehem. I wonder if there were some who were grumpy about having to pack up and herd the sheep into the caves. I mean, out in Bethlehem, there are caves, and that's where the shepherds would spend the night, and the sheep would be pushed into the side of the cave there. But they were out in the field, and really, if we're going to leave, we're not going to be able to get these sheep to go all the way to Bethlehem with us. We're going to have to herd them back into the cave. A few of us are going to have to stay here with them, and then the rest of us are going to be able to go on to Bethlehem. And it's going to take us half the night to get these sheep to go anywhere. It's like having a kid at Walmart at Christmas in the cookie section. All to see a baby? Shepherds had seen babies before. Why did these guys care anything about going to see a baby? I wonder if any of their hearts were two sizes too small for this news. I wonder if they were cynical and skeptical like the Grinch and how the Grinch stole Christmas as they discussed whether or not to go looking for this baby. Could it really be? Could the angel's song really be true? The Grinch didn't believe the Who's song was true. He dreaded the moment that they were all going to stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and then those Who's would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of the Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. I must stop this Christmas from coming, but how? Well, he goes down to Whoville. You know the story, right? In the dark, he packs up all the presents, the stockings, the trimmings, the trappings, the feast, and the fire. And as the light breaks, he waits in the quiet to hear the reaction. Gloria! The air was filled with the news. Glory to God in the highest. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing. And the Grinch is puzzled. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And then the Grinch thought something he hadn't thought before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. It doesn't. And it doesn't come from a palace. And it doesn't come with mystical signs. It comes in the most common places. Without extraordinary signals, God comes to us. And our hearts grow. And we are never the same. In a stable, wrapped in swaddling, lying in a manger, God came. And once the shepherds saw the baby lying there in the manger, and it matched all of the signs that they had heard, they had seen. And they couldn't wait to share the news. Everyone they told was amazed. And then they returned. Their daily life remained the same. They were still shepherds. Yet now they sang. Now they glorified and praised God for all that they had seen and heard. In the town of Whoville, standing side by side, singing, God came. Once the Grinch realizes that Christmas is about more than getting and eating, and that there is more reason than for feasting and festing, then his heart grows three sizes that day, and he returns the toys and the feast and joins in the celebration. And he's never the same. And Mary, as she held her baby, I can just imagine her watching the shepherds leave. Whew. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word we translate as ponder has the sense of an ongoing discovery. Mary ruminated on what all of this meant as she contemplated what had taken place. She knew God was with her, even as she wondered at this bundle nestled in her arms. God comes in the most common, ordinary ways and changes us forever. Reverend Dr. Will Willimon has spent most of his ministry at Duke Divinity School, and he tells a story about a college couple who met at an informational gathering about going on a spring trip, mission trip to Honduras. And he says when this couple met, things started out really well between them. And they started meeting and going out together. And then the young man, when Bishop Willimon asked him about the young lady, said, we're going to Honduras together. And who knows where it might lead for the two of us. Ah. And then one day, around Christmas time, this young man was walking dejectedly around campus. What's up? Marianne isn't going to Honduras, he replied. I'm sorry. Do you know why? Is it time? Is it money? Is something going on? No, he responded. Marianne said her older sister, Clorinda, went down there, and it changed her, made her mom and dad furious. Clorinda said she met God down there. Marianne said she got turned upside down. My friends, I don't know exactly what happened to Clorinda in Honduras. But I know that it was in a common place in need. As she cared for people who were the least of these. And she met God. And her heart grew. And she was transformed. The signs of God's presence among us are simple. They're common. They're the hug of a friend, the sharing of a meal, the giving of a gift, the beauty of music rippling with God's glory. And yet we have all experienced how extraordinary these simple, common signs are, as our hearts have expanded with exuberant joy. Too often, we are looking for something else. We're looking for something miraculous, something unexplainable. God is with us in our lives every day. And when we have seen him, when we have realized God with us, like the shepherds, and the Grinch, like Mary, like every person who has served another person in need and ponders their own role in God's work, we are transformed. Our hearts expand, and our story can't be kept silent. And all who hear it are amazed. Gloria. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.